We are reading from the study of the Ten Sefirot, Part 3, Chapter 11, Item 8.
Ken?
Oh, yes.
So, Chapter 12. Explain the coupling and striking of the Enaim and the Achap, from which the vessels of the Rosh were made, and also the coupling of striking for the second time, which the vessels of the Guf were made.
Maybe we don't really understand what this is about, but we accept it as the light that reforms. That this study, even if we don't understand it really, even when there were people who didn't understand the language Baal HaSulam used to explain, still he said, let them sit, and they will advance. And they really did advance, and they became Kabbalists. So we should simply subjugate ourselves. It's not the wise who learns. It's only our intention by which we want to advance the revelation of the Creator, the revelation of the quality of bestowal. And this subjugation, as we talked about in the previous lesson, is exactly our subjugation towards the group, towards Kabbalists, towards what they tell us. This is the first essential thing. So let's make an effort here. Please.
Item 1. The vessels were made of the light of looking in the vapor of the nefesh of ruach the neshama, which the third and fourth discernment made. 1. We must understand the matter of reiyah, of looking and observing of the enaim, of the eyes. Know that the looking of the enaim extended the observing from the above mentioned nefesh ruach neshama, and the vessels were made because of her observing upon them. It is written, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided, etc. Because the ruach and the neshama are called light, and the nefesh is called et, the, because nefesh, namely malchut, is called it. Inner light.
Again,
item 1. We must understand the matter of istaklut in the vapor of the nefesh ruach neshama, which are the fourth and third phase. We must understand the matter of the looking and observing of the enaim. Know that the looking of the enaim extended the observing from it in the above mentioned nefesh ruach neshama. And the vessels were made because of her istaklut, her observing upon them. It is written, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided, etc. The ruach and the neshama are called light, and the nefesh is called it, because nefesh, namely malchut, is called it. Inner light, number 1, relates to extended from it. It is called itpashtut, extension of the light of Ein Sof in the coupling and striking to make vessels, because the light Ein Sof is the light of Chochmah, the only one where the coupling and striking happen.
Yes.
Number 2, Ruach and Neshama are called light, meaning the phase of Ruach and Neshama, of direct light, in and of themselves, before the ascents of the Masach, the screen, and its Izdakhut, refining from the fourth phase to their others, is because they have no vessel for there is no vessel but the fourth phase. However, the first three phases of direct light are regarded merely as generators of the appearance of the vessel, meaning the fourth phase. The Ari wrote, the Ruach and the Neshama, meaning the second phase and the third phase, are called light, because they are not regarded as vessels.
Kiev.
Kiev. What does he want?
Yes, dear love. What is the light of Nefesh in the Malchut?
No. Don't say that there is no light in Malchut, or the opposite. Malchut has lights. It has the reflected light that it generates by pushing away, and then she receives these lights. The purpose of creation is for these lights to spread in Malchut, because the first nine are not the created being, it's the creator's relation to the created being. And the created being has to relate to the way the creator appears before him, in a way that everything that was before Malchut will then extend into Malchut from in within. We'll learn this in the future. It's not that Malchut doesn't have lights. In the meantime, we'll learn that Malchut is only the restriction, the screen, and the reflected light. That's true, but it's not all the way this way. Let's move on.
Number two, and God saw, this is the istaklut, the observing. Et is the nefesh, and the light is ruach neshama. Divided, made the vessels, which are separation and a border. Number two, it turns out that upon the observing of his looking in the et, the light being the nefesh called et, and the ruach and the neshama called light, the vessels were separate and create the difference and the border and the limit of the lights that emerged. This is the meaning of, and God divided. Again, number two. And God saw is the observing. It is the nefesh, and all is light, is the ruach and the neshama. Divided, made the vessels, which are the separation and the border. Two, it turns out that upon the observing of his looking in it, the light being the nefesh called it, and the ruach and the neshama called light, the kelim, which separate and create the difference, the border and the limit in the lights emerged. This is the meaning of, and God divided. Number three, inner light, relates to it. It indicates the collective of 22 letters from Aleph to Taf. Only Malchut raises reflected light, and all the changes in the letters and the combinations of the letters in the worlds are formed only because of the reflected light. This is the reason that she is called it, indicating that she is the source of every border, measure, and difference.
Tel Aviv 3. Tel Aviv 3.
Rav, ma ze omer istaklut?
Rav, what does it mean, istaklut, observing?
Observing Ishiti, the definition, you can find it, I think, in part 2 or 3. Istaklut, observing, is bestowal. The observing of a naim in a chap, it's bestowal. A special bestowal of light. The light of sight means observing.
Well, we have the definitions if you want. So yes, it's here in part 3. שאלה למד וב. Question 36. בעמוד 185, קוף פי-ה. מה הסתכלות? What is הסתכלות? Observing. The answer is... קוף צדי בית, 192.
כן.
עמוד קוף צדי בית, 192. So, what is observing? הסתכלות. The expansion of the light of Ein Sof, the coupling and striking, and the masach of the vessel of Malchut. To raise reflected light is called istaklut, observing. It is so because the light that expands from the Ein Sof is always regarded as the light of Chokhmah, called O Einayim, or sight, or istaklut, observing.
That's it. PT 19.
What does he mean when he says that all the changes in the letters and the combination of the letters only happen by the reflected light?
Because if there was no reflected light, this means that there is no response from the created being to the creator. And then we cannot talk about the new things between them, meaning the letters are only with respect to the created being, to what extent the creature can resemble or imprint inside him the creator.
He says that all the limits come from it.
Yes, yes, of course.
So the direct light, except for light, there's no added, nothing in there?
To the extent that you can equalize yourself with a direct light, you build the reflected light and you build the connection between them.
So it all depends on reflected light?
Yes, it all depends on the reflected light. Kiev 2.
Also, he writes about the letters that he explains why there are 22 letters.
Aleph Bet.
Asterisk. Aleph Bet.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
Okay, so you have in the Patsuf, you have items or letters that are from Aleph to Tet, the first and the, until the ninth letter. That's the first nine letters. And then they belong to Zad Bina. Then you have the letters from Yud, the tenth letter in the Hebrew alphabet, until Yud Chet are the nine letters that belong to Zeran Pin, and four more letters, Kuf, Shin, Taf, the last ones, belong to Malchut. And besides that, in the end of Malchut, you have special letters that only appear in the end of the words, Kuf, Shin, Taf, that are,
Mansepach.
They take upon themselves different forms.
Mansepach.
Yes, Mansepach.
So in other words, it is
all the vessels you have in the Potsuper, from Aleph to Taf. This is the word et. Contains these two letters, Aleph and Taf. And that's the sign for them all. Merkaz 1.
What can we learn of the work that reflected light came out of the Malchut?
It's until we have the reflected light, we won't have attainment in what we have above us. Hebrew 10.
Thank you, Rav. What you answered, Vlad, you said that the letters Aleph to Teter Zad Bina, then you said from Yud to Yud Chet Zer Anpin. What about Kaf, Lamed, Mem, all those other letters that are... The four last letters belong to Malchut. Kuf Reishin Taf belong to Malchut. Aryeh, and the rest of the letters Lamed Nun Mem Ain Rav, those are letters that belong to the Parzuf itself. They're letters that come from Bina, and letters that come from Zeranpin, and letters that come from Malchut. 8, 8, and 4. Sorry, 9, 9, 9, and 4. So the first 9 are Aleph to Tet.
Yes.
Then from Yud to Yud Chet.
Yes.
Mansepach is Malchut, and the rest of the letters, they belong to.
What other letters do you have?
Lamed, Mem, Nun, Ein. You jumped as if they don't exist.
You're talking about numbers or letters?
Letters.
Letters, okay. So when you say Yud Gimel, is it referring to a number or a letter?
Depends on what I want to emphasize, but now I'm speaking about letters.
So you don't have a single letter, Yud Gimel. What other number 13 do you have? Count Tet Yud, and then you have. You're not counting Yud Aleph Yud Bet Yud Gimel. What do you count? According to the alphabet, you count.
Yud Aleph.
No. Kaf. Then after Yud, you have Kaf, then Lamed, right? Then Mem, etc. This is what you're asking?
Yeah, Kaf, Lamed, Mem. What part in the Parzuf do they belong to?
Zeranpin.
Okay, that was the question.
Okay.
Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan.
Rav, спасибо большое. В букве Алиф мы говорим, раскрывается единство Творца, да, вот.
In the letter Aleph, the unification of the Creator is revealed, and.
Okay, dear person, now you want to deal with the letters. I can't. For that you need, for this, if we want to learn the essence of these letters, it's the essence of our connection with the Creator. We have a black point in each of us. It's the point of the desire. If we can friction, a screen, and a reflected light upon this point, then by our relation to the light, we start developing this black point, which is no longer black. It can depict itself on the background of the white light. Then we draw the black letters on the background of white. That's to the extent that my will to receive can resemble the light, how much my desire can be in bestowal, like the upper light. Then accordingly, I can talk about the shape of the letters and the qualities of the letters and the connections between the letters and what laws we have in these connections between the letters, meaning grammar. It's not only about the shape of the letters, but how they relate to each other. From that stems to us all the law of Hebrew, of the connections of the letters, how they combine to words. In words, why you have the singular form and the plural form, all the different changes you have in words. Everything is out of understanding the relations between the vessels and the lights, because Hebrew is not a language that was made or born out of usage. It's a language that stems only from the connection, the relation between the lights and the vessels. That's why it doesn't change for thousands of years. This is the essence of the Hebrew alphabet. That the whole language was only born out of the revelation of the relation between the will to receive and the will to bestow. That's what the letters are about. The letters are symbols. It's an expression of rules, laws of the will to receive. to the will to bestow. The connection between them in many different levels. If we're talking about the letters, so we're saying, where do the letters start from? The letters begin in Zat de Bina. Keter and Chokhmah are the light. And the upper part of Bina is also light. And where you start having the bottom half of Bina, that's where the letters start already. That's where the desires start already. That's why the first nine letters of the alphabet are from the Chazeh until the Malchut of Bina. And there we discover the shapes of the letters, the laws between them, etc. Then we talk about Zerat Din, having, even though it's 10 Sfirot, it's actually 6 Sfirot, and from the 10 you get 9 with the Malchut. And so we talk about the letters from Yud, forgive me, from Tet, 9, the ninth letter until the end, until Tzadik. Yes. There are different rules of connections between the lights and the vessels. And in Malchut, which is Kufrei Shin Tav, you have only 4 letters because all there is in Malchut is her 4 main Sfirot. That's why we talk about it there this way, about the connections between the lights and the vessels being under the screen and only in the Ochozer, reflected light, etc. Now the essence of the letters, so we say the singular letters are in Bina, the ones that their value is tens is in Zeranpin, and the hundreds are in Malchut. It all stems, whatever you talk about is only the connection between the light and the Kli, by the restriction, the screen, and the reflected light. That's how it stems. That's why, if you look at Hebrew, the Hebrew language, you're looking at a code. A code that stems from the relation between the light and the Kli. It's not that we're talking about a certain word. A word means the order of the spiritual actions, that if you perform them, you discover this word, the essence of it. You see, there are many things here, but it all stems from the relation between the light and the Kli, the vessel. PT
17.
He writes that the first 3 phases bring the revelation of the vessel. What does it mean, revealing the vessel? In what manner?
That until the light develops in the desire and reaches Malchut, we still don't have a Kli. We don't yet have a response from the desire to the light. It feels it's bestowal to it, but it doesn't format it yet. It doesn't build the desire in a way that it can respond to the bestowal to it, so it can resemble her. PT 20.
Well, when we speak about the letters, it turns out that each of us should write his own book of the Torah.
That's true. It's written this way, that each one has to write the book of Torah in his heart. His heart meaning his desire.
Another question, the Kabbalists that came before the Ari, did they feel the same thing, they just couldn't write it?
That's for you to know, I guess, but I don't yet know how Kabbalists feel before the Ari and after the Ari. What I can say is what Well, certainly when Ari revealed, he did it in a way that after him, all the Kabbalists, Balasaram writes that they really bent themselves, they bowed down to what he revealed, because what was revealed to him was never revealed to any other Kabbalist. But we don't talk about these things. We'll reach it and we'll see. In the meantime, we can't hear it. We can't understand it at all. Turkey 2.
Dear Rav, thank you. Our friend is asking, what is the relation between numbers and letters?
The numbers are in quantity and the letters are in quality. And also the numbers, if we're speaking about Kabbalah, we don't use numbers as we use them in math, but we use numbers like letters. Aleph, Bet, Gimel. 1, 2, 3. That's how we use the letters. There are no numbers to begin with. It also stems from the manner of connection between the vessel and its fulfillment, so it already gets a form of letters.
Tzafon 2.
Tzafon 2, North 2.
Lo shomim.
Can't hear you.
Slicha, Rav.
Excuse me, Rav. The name that we get from our parents, is it related to the letters of the work?
No connection. We don't need to go deep in that. You can ask, did my parents give me a name just from what they felt like it? But what they felt like didn't come from the Creator. So I'll tell you about that I don't understand. And when you get to something, so you'll know. And for me, it's easier to say that I don't know.
Chadera 1.
Or Ein Sof.
The light of Ein Sof, which are Ruach and Neshama, it extends. After it extends, who limits it? Who restricts it? How does it restrict itself? And after it restricts, does Nefesh clothe upon it?
What you're asking, we have to learn in the wisdom of Kabbalah that we are doing now. If you have patience, we'll learn together and you'll be able to answer it on your own, because it's very general questions. The light Ein Sof to where we are now. So, Gilad, let's go.
Yes, we're in item 3. In the title, in the Histaklut, no, looking, there is direct light and reflected light. Because when the screen spread until Malchut, it reflected upwards, and the reflected light clothed the Or Yashar, or direct light from above downwards. Item 3. Know that in Histaklut there is Or Yashar, direct light from above downwards, and the reflected light from below upward. First, the sight extended from above to the end of the 10th lowest p'china, lowest discernment of Nefesh. Then, when the light returned from below upward, the separating vessels were made and formed and clothed all the parts of the Nefesh from below upward. This matter was explained above thoroughly in the previous study, and how the kelim were made from below upward. Again, item 3, title. In the look, the istaklut, there is direct light and reflected light, because when the direct light expanded onto the screen on Malchut, the screen pushed the light upward. So the light that returned clothed the direct light from below upward. Item 3. Know that there are two discernments in this look, which are direct light from above downward and reflected light from below upward. First, the sight extended from above to the end of the 10th lowest discernment of Nefesh. Then, when the light returned from below upward, the separating vessels were made and formed and clothed all the parts of Nefesh from below upward. This matter of the histaklut, the observance, and how the vessels were made from below upward has been explained above thoroughly in the previous study, in item 6, and study it there carefully.
Number 4 below.
Item 4 relates to the words and no. It means that that part of the light that is received in the Patsuf, meaning until Malchut, is called direct light from above downward. The part of the light that is not received in the Patsuf, meaning that measure of the upper light that belongs to Malchut, and the screen in it that rejects and pushes back to its place is called reflected light from below upward. Thus, the direct light and the reflected light are both regarded as upper light equally. But the difference is that this direct light is received in the Patsuf, and the reflected light is only the light of Histalkut, the departure from the Kli of Malchut, from the vessel of Malchut.
Kiev 2.
Раф, вот он здесь пишет, что прямой свет — это тот, который входит в Парцуф. А мы всегда говорили, что внутрь...
He writes here that the direct light enters the Patsuf, but we always say that the inner light enters the direct light.
Direct light and reflected light. That's what he says. That expands through the Patsuf. Direct light, you can say. Inner light, too. There are a lot. Neran Chai. It has a lot of names. But all in all, you need to understand that it's a very brief language. We use all kinds of names that sometimes explains different things to us. But we have to see according to each matter what we're speaking about.
When the direct light comes, then it's going back by the created being. Is it the same light or is the reflected light?
We learned that already. How can you ask that? How could it be that direct light is like reflected light? What, it's like a mirror that reflects the light back? It's a will to receive that takes the bestow of the Creator, feels all the Creator bestows upon it, whether it agrees or not with the bestowing of the Creator. He wants to process it in a way that he'll resemble to the Creator. By this, he reflects the light, like the host and the guest, that the host doesn't want to give to the guest because he feels the attitude towards him and then he can't receive, and that's a flaw in his ego. That, or he could be happy that his ego was hurt and then he can give back. There's so many actions here. It's not that just like that, the lights go through. What we're studying is what's happening in the Patsuf. Okay?
Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan.
Раф, нам сейчас Бааль Сулам в конце сказал, и пойми это, там разница между отраженным.
Раф Бааль Сулам wrote for us and understand this thoroughly about the difference between the reflected light and the light.
The reflected light is just all the light that returns from the vessel of Malchut. What is reflected light? It's when Malchut pushes back and says, I don't want to receive. That is a reflected light. Afterwards, there'll be a connection between direct light and reflected light. From the host to the guest and the guest back to the host. And in the interconnection between them, there'll be a decision how much to receive and to what extent and so on. Next. PT 17.
Rav, he writes that the light of Nefesh clothes on all its parts, something like that. Hold on. They clothe the Nefesh in all its parts from below upward.
Yeah.
He's talking about the completion of Malchut.
Yes, but Malchut completes itself. It wants to reach the degree of Keter, just like the host to her. She can give back to the host.
So why does it talk about light here, about Nefesh?
It depends as much as Malchut can receive in order to bestow.
PT
19.
That's it. So he says a sentence here. Maybe we should scrutinize, because there we will thoroughly understand this matter of this. From below upwards, and think about it. Is there a matter of building the vessels from below downward, from below upwards, what we learn?
Of course, the annulment determines the extent of the reflected light, because that comes from the decision of the annulment. As much as I want to annul myself, that's a restriction. To bestow back to the host, like he's doing to me, me to my beloved to me, that by this I'm revealing his attitude towards me, and by this I want to bestow to him. All of this is in the restriction, screen, and reflected light.
You're saying that the action of annulment is the most important in our work, or there are other things?
Everything starts from the annulment, the extent of the annulment, the style of annulment, the intensity of annulment. That's what all of our work depends on.
Otherwise, there's no chance to raise the reflected light without annulment, right?
How could you raise reflected light without annulment? How can that be? Reflected light is that you give back everything the host gives you, and you don't want to receive anything from him. That's the action of annulment, the action of restriction and screen and reflected light.
So what's the essence of the word, the action in the ten? How do you do that, basically?
The rest is the connection to the host, that you want to be like him. And you're performing the rejection. After that, you can start connecting to him, me for my beloved, my beloved for me, as much as you can bestow on one another, and that by that reach equivalence, that one will be equal to the other, like on the scales. How much is the Creator for me? That's the extent that I am for him. Then we become as partners.
Meaning that's the whole work in the ten. You don't have the Creator, and it's our ten, annulment to each other.
Of course. Oh, only now you're understanding. Well, at least now.
It's about time.
There is nothing spiritual that doesn't take place in the ten. Every thought outside the ten is a klipa. It's just a klipa. That's it.
I don't understand your sentence now. What do you mean?
Klipa meaning something outside of bestow, outside of sanctity, outside of the direction towards the Creator. Enough with you. We have a bit of time. Gilad, where are we?
Item 4, the words of Dari.
Yes.
In the beginning of the Hitpashtut, expansion of the direct light for the Zivug Daka on the screen in Malchut, it created only the roots of the vessels for the Rosh. Item 4. Know that this direct light had the strength to make vessels for the Rosh. Yet, it would not be apparent before this Histaklut, this observance, strikes the light of Nefesh of the Peh, rendering the vessels of the Rosh apparent. Again, item 4. In the beginning of the expansion of the direct light for Zivug Daka on the screen in Malchut, it created only the roots of the vessels for the Rosh. Item 4. Know that this direct light had the strength to make the vessels for the Rosh. Yet it would not be apparent before this histaklut, this look or observance, strikes the light of Nefesh of the Peh, rendering the discernment of the vessels of the Rosh apparent. Item 5, inner light, relates to vessels for the discernment of the Rosh. It was written above that there is no perception in the direct light without it clothing in the reflected light. For that reason, the sfirot of the direct light above the reflected light are not apparent in the patsuf, although they are there. For example, reflected light that reaches the degree of Bina does not display the Keter and Chochmah in that Patsuf, though they are clothed in the internality of Bina. Item 6, inner light, relates to, and by that, the vessels were apparent. Item 6. It means that by clothing the 10 sefirot of the direct light in the reflected light that ascends from the screen from below upward, they suffice for vessels of Rosh, meaning only roots for the vessels, but not complete vessels.
Yes, that we'll learn, meaning that the clothing of direct light and reflected light is just the roots. When were the vessels made? When it happens again. So we don't have any expansion of the light in the vessel. We're still not accepting the light in the vessel. Right now it's just building the vessel. The second time it can be accepted in the vessel. Example. I am sitting with the host. The host gives me something to eat. I take it. I check and I see as much as it tastes good and what is there and so on. It awakens my desires. In my desires, I start connecting to that fulfillment that the host gave me. And afterwards, I can organize myself correctly to respond towards the host. That's why the first tasting, or the first eating, that's not a flaw, but only the second time you eat. Also in this world, we say, that's how we relate to people. First time, if they make some transgression, it's not a transgression. They learned whether you're allowed to or not. The second time, after he has reshimot, he has experience from what he had, he didn't restrict the screen and so on. Then he's already called a criminal. The third time, that's it. Yes, please.
M5. Making vessels of goof requires a second observance on the screen in the Peh, namely Malchut. Item 5. However, the vessels of the Guf, which are the lower seven, did not have the ability to make them in the light of Yosha, straightness, of the mentioned observance alone, but until this observance strikes the light of Nefesh of Pe. The light would return from below upward through the both of them and clothe the lower seven called Guf. Again, title of item 5 is Making Vessels of Guf requires the second observance over the screen in the Pe, namely Malchut. Item 5. However, the vessels of the Guf, which are the lower seven, did not have the ability to make them in the light of straightness of the mentioned observance alone. But until this observance strikes the light of Nefesh of the Pe, the light will return from below upwards through the both of them and make vessels and clothe the lower seven called Guf. Item 7, Inner Light, relates to the discernment of the vessels in the Guf. Item 7, meaning after the light is overturned and descends from the screen downward, at which time Malchut, which is the Pe, expands and spreads into 10 Sefirot from her and within her until the Malchut in her, it is called Nefesh of the Pe, and then complete vessels called Guf or 10 Sefirot of the Guf are made.
Barur, Ken.
Clear.
PT 29.
What does it mean that there is no perception in the direct light without it being clothed in the reflected light?
So who will grasp it? Who will even reveal that there's direct light?
So how can we say that direct light enters the patsuf first?
After we attain it, we also attain the way it expands and performs all kinds of things, but not that we attain it before we reject it, before we clothe upon it, before we attain it. Only after attainment, we also want to attain its nature and the forms that it clothes in the vessel, as if the previous discernments to our revelation.
Focus group.
David from Toronto 2 is asking, is it essential to learn the Hebrew language in the study of the 10 Sefirot when we talk about letters?
Look, throughout history, there were many scientists that weren't Jewish that studied Hebrew. The famous of them all is Newton, that he had a lot of writings in Hebrew that he wanted to know, and by them, by knowing Hebrew, he wanted to know the secrets of the universe. And there were more until the 18th century, let's say, where science, relatively modern, started developing, that then the scientists delved into science in a very modern, present way. I don't know if you need to study Hebrew, but obviously, like every language has like unique words. Whoever studies medicine has to know a bit of Latin, which it's not a language anybody even uses anymore. Whoever studies mechanics or technology, so he needs to know the ABC of the Greek, and so on. So every language has some kind of definitions from all kinds of other languages that people who study spirituality won't have a choice. They'll have to know Hebrew, and it depends on which extent. To what extent? Why? Because it's not a language, as we were saying today a lot. It's not a language, it's a code that explains the interconnection between lights and vessels in nature, that it doesn't come from people starting to speak somewhere and it just came out like that. Because there's also questions about that, where languages came from. But the Hebrew language comes from people starting to reveal the connection between man and the upper light, between darkness and light, between the plus and the minus. And then started understanding that, and from that they put this language together. Gilad.
One more short question.
No, Gilad.
When item 8, inner light, relates to and by the both of them. Item 8. It means that by the light of the observance, which is the expansion of the light of Ein Sof, and by Malchut, which is the screen that strikes and pushes the light backwards, these two participate in the making of the vessels. And we're in item 6, asterisk, item 156, title, the 10 Sfirot of the Hestaklut observance, which are direct light. There is a keter, which is by the ayin, by the eye. And Chochma and Bina and Tum expand from ayin and below until the yesod that is adjacent to the pe. Item 6. Indeed, the 10 sfirot of the histaklut, whoever adheres to his root more, is the upper one is more above, because the keter is the closest to the ayin from all of them, and the rest are accordingly. Again, item 6. In the 10 sfirot of istaklut, which are the direct light, emerged the root, which is the keter, that is adjacent to the ayin, and in chub tum, they spread from ayin and below until the yesod, which is adjacent to the peh. Item 6. Indeed, the 10 sfirot of the histaklut, of the observance, in them, each one who is more attached to his root is higher, because the keter is the closest, and it is adjacent to the ayin more than all the rest. And the rest are likewise. To continue to item 7, Rav.
Yeah, keep going.
Item 7, title. In the reflected light, the root emerged, which is Keter, close to the Peh, which is Malchut, which is the root of the reflected light. And Chub and Tum expand and rise from Peh above until Malchut of the reflected light, which comes by the Ayin. And they clothe the 10 Sfirot of the direct light. The 10 Sfirot of the reflected light, when they are incorporated in the 10 Sfirot of the direct light, they make the all the levels of the vessels become equal.
Wait, Hebrew 10.
Rav, I wanted to ask a question not about tests, if I can.
Okay.
Okay, so I hope I can express this correctly. I wanted to ask you about the preparation to going to sleep. In our tent, we meet twice a day, and once more when we prepare ourselves to sleep. It takes a minute or two or three, and we read an excerpt and we go to sleep. But most of the friends, they still have all kinds of things, kids or TV or all kinds of trouble. How did you relate to go to the preparation for sleep when you were with the Rabash? Can you tell us a little about it?
I can't say whatever everybody sees is the right way to end the day and prepare himself for the next day. It's a problem. There's a matter of families, modern families, children. Maybe the wife wants some attention. I can't say whichever way each one finds right.
How did Rabash do it? How did he prepare to sleep?
Rabash, after the Zohar lesson, where we ended the day with, used to go upstairs to his apartment, and within 15 minutes, he was sleeping. 15 minutes, and he was sleeping. That's it. That's it. That's why I can't tell you that you can take an example from him. You're not his age, and you're not Kabbalist like he was. And let's let go of him. He's not an example. It's something that very exalted. But still, we need to try to go to sleep with the preparation for the next day. That's it. Preparing for the next day. Read something from Shamati, some small excerpt of Rabash articles. Put a prayer together for the group that you're wishing all of Bibi, the whole world Kli, and all of humanity to go through the night in a good way, to wake up the next day for a new dawn towards the Creator. Do it. See, it all depends on a person. Every time we less and less write down laws and rules for ourselves. You have to understand from the state we're going through what is worth it for us to do. Each one has to be his own guide in the end. And now we need Shai Livnat.
Yes, the schedule for today will start the broadcast at 10 a.m. Simeon Vinikov with Rav until 10:30. We'll continue straight to the writers' meeting with Rav, 10:30 until 11:30. In the evening, we're having only a record lesson from 6 o'clock. Let's continue with the song. Sadi sad ne mere sikha pyar ka matlab hai ekta ekhi ekhi main dikha ke ye khuda sadi sad ne mere sikha pyar ka matlab hai ekta ekhi ekhi main dikha ke ye khuda together we go light awakens our soul the sparkle of love flashes ego is turning to ashes in lessons with friends we discover his hands no lies on the path I promise I'll cover your back when we pray for our connection we can hear his call we are following one goal we are ready to go when we step into the light of our reason so high together we can fly above the sky sadi sadne mere sikha pyar ka matlab hai ekta ekhi ekhi main dikha ke ye khuda sadi sadne mere sikha pyar ka matlab hai ekta ekhi ekhi main dikha ke ye khuda
burns our soul. The spark of love flashes, ego is turning to ashes. When we step into the light of our reason so high, together we can fly above the sky. Sari sabhe mere sikha, pyar ka matlab hai ekta, ekhi ekhi main dikha ke ye khuda. Sari sabhe mere sikha, pyar ka matlab hai ekta, ekhi ekhi main dikha ke ye khuda. प्यार का मतलब है एकता, एक ही मैं दिखा के ये खुदा. सारी सब ने मैंने सीखा, प्यार का मतलब है एकता, एक ही मैं दिखा के ये खुदा.